So social media mentions are powered by Scheibe Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And we're getting a whole bunch of them right here, including from Jared. First, the team started vacation last week. What are you talking about? Second, what about this coaching staff makes you think they can script up a win against Buffalo and Pittsburgh?
Oh, no, that's totally fair.
It is totally
fair.
That is
a total. This hypothetical is not like, hey, they might win. No, I was talking, look, even when I was saying, like, hey, if they rattle off the next two wins against the Bills and the Steelers, I'd hold back a laugh because of it.
Jared, we're not saying this is happening. Please do not put those words in our mouths. Now, the only thing that I will add in with that is crazier things have happened. This is the NFL, and for all we know, Josh Allen could happen that he isn't there for Sunday. Hopefully nothing happens. I'm not trying to put any kind of evil in here where he's not there on Sunday for the Bills.
Haley Steinfeld's water could break.
Well, that would be mega early.
Oh,
but nonetheless, like exactly. I'm not putting any kind of evil into the air. We'll put it that way. And I still think it would put them in the same exact position, but you brought us something really interesting when we got out. And it's the idea you brought up the preseason expectation part of this thing. And you said there were people out there who said that six games was the preseason expectation. It is burnt in my brain until the end that Vegas had the preseason expectations of this team at 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear where we were in the preseason, that Vegas thought 4.5, and we were kicking around the idea of over under 4.5. And I think some of us had the under on that one going, I think the gentleman who sits right here, Nick Wilson, once said, I want them to be the most competitive 1-16, 2-15 team you've ever watched.
Yep.
He said something, and if I'm putting words in your mouth, Nick, I apologize. That is not my, you know, that's not my goal on this. And I kind of thought something similar, where it was like, this team is not going to be good. This offense is going to be clunky. You're just hoping it looks better at the beginning than it did at the end. And how far can this defense carry them? Because walking in thinking you're going to have a top five defense typically is not the case in the NFL. Defenses are kind of fickle. Mm. You know, you could be top five one year, top 10 the next year, top 15, and all of a sudden you're the third best defense again. Ask the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that won the Super Bowl. I mean, that Super Bowl 2020 Buccaneers team was the best defense in football. The year after that, they like dropped to like 10th.
Mm.
So that's the way this stuff goes in the NFL. And Vegas put it at 4.5. And I don't know how many people that were out there banging the table and screaming, they're better than this. They're better than this. They're better than this. And I was like, yeah, okay. And if the ones that were, I would go, okay, so then how much better? And they'd go 5 wins, 6 wins. So here we are in this position. It's kind of where we thought we were. When you hear that, does that change your thought on Kevin Stefanski or this team?
No, because, and I understand what you're getting at. Like, we didn't exactly have the highest expectations heading into this team. And I think like Spencer and I went through, basically played the schedule game, and I ended out with them winning 5 games this year.
Right.
And I guess the two that were flipped were the Jets and the Titans. You know, that's where I got to 5 wins. I think where the sticking point with me is, we knew it was going to be bad going in. We knew we had no idea what the quarterback situation was. Even when it was Joe Flacco, I didn't really believe in a 40-year-old Joe Flacco who didn't look that good in Indianapolis the year prior to like take this offense full of rookies to new heights. However, I thought the operations would be better, toward the Nick Wilson idea of this is a competitive team. There have been games throughout the year, from the beginning of the season to the end to last week, where they have looked uncompetitive, undisciplined. Last week looked like a complete quit game.
God. The beginning of last week's game between the false starts and the 12 men on the field and then having the wrong wristband and all of that nonsense on top of it. I mean, it was pitiful.
Yeah. I mean, that looked like a first year head coach in his first ever NFL game. Like that's how bad
Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that was watching Freddie Kitchens, where it was like, the simplest things look damn near impossible. And watching that, did you watch Thursday Night Football? I probably should have asked you this before we got in here. Did you watch Thursday Night Football?
Oh, I did. I won a lot of money last night. I won so much money last night.
Well, I hope that money goes in to you being very, very generous during the holiday season.
Well, no, it's going into, I haven't bought my Christmas presents yet, and I'm going to with that money. Anyways, go ahead. I watched Thursday Night Football.
I haven't started either. We're going to get into that later on. So, I did as well. How far do you think the Browns were from what you watched on Thursday Night Football?
Oh my God. We're back in the situation where it's a totally different offense. It's a totally different team. We're playing a different game, guys. We're playing a different game.
That's the way I felt.
We are the JV team right now, and everybody else is on the on a different playing field. So that's, even if you get to the, and I hope this is what the Browns brass tacks is looking at right now, is that, you know what? Even if this was a soft tank year, even if this was a year where we traded back from that second overall pick because we knew this was sort of a long haul rebuild type thing, I needed it to look a little bit more competitive than this. I needed our special teams to figure their stuff out, I don't know, before week 18 or whatever week we're in right now. I needed the operations to be
better.
It's not
going to get figured out. I think we could bury that one. It's not getting figured out. If it's not fixed by now, it's not getting fixed.
So that's where the sticking point is. And that is where coaches get fired. Where even if you do, even if you go in line with what the expectations are, and hey, let's say they pick up one game at the end of the year and they go right around their over-under total of four wins and they end the year like that, you're not going to feel like they met expectations this year. Even if they get to six wins, you're not going to feel like they met expectations this season because of how bad the team has looked, because of how unprepared, how terrible Kevin Stefanski has looked as a head coach and the rest of the coaching staff has looked. That's the crux of it, where if you are thinking that we can run this thing back with Kevin Stefanski for another year, not only are they not meeting expectations, they're not looking good doing so.
I agree with you. I have no argument. I can't push back on any of this stuff. It just feels time. It feels like this has run its course. And the other side of that then turns to the guy who was brought in at the same time as Kevin Stefanski, which is, what do you do then with Andrew Berry? Are you letting Andrew Berry hire the next coach for this team? Or is this the true package deal where it's like, okay, both of you need to no longer be here, and we need to completely start this thing from scratch?
I think they need to start it from scratch. Why? And it starts and ends with the Deshaun Watson thing, and I know people don't want to hear that because we've talked about it ad nauseum since that trade went down, but that was the nexus point for what this iteration of the Browns was going to look like.
Nexus point.
That's a big Syracuse word.
I like that.
Thank you.
I like
that. Yes, thank you. That was the nexus point for what this iteration of the Browns was going to look like. The Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, Paul D. Podesta Browns was going to hinge on how the team did with Deshaun Watson under contract, not even under center, under contract. And since that trade, you've seen how it's reaped the awful rewards of it. The team is gutted of talent. They have no offensive line. We're rolling out fifth round quarterbacks as your starting answer, you know, and we're trying to talk ourselves into him or a top overall pick because you're right at the top of the draft again. Mm-hmm. So that's where it starts and ends. Jimmy Haslam said that we took a big swing and we missed. Guess what happens when you take a big swing and you miss as an organization, as a business? You clean house. You go in a different direction.
So it's funny you say that, because I feel like big swing and a miss has had a couple different interpretations. I took it slightly as a big swing and a miss means I goofed up. This is on me. I can't fix this. We're stuck with the situation that we're in. It is not on the two guys that are there. You see big swing and a miss as the organization screwed up, and the organization itself of the guys, you know, Stefanski, Berry, those were the ones who were behind it. Am I getting that correct?
If Jimmy Haslam,
you're not incorrect when you say Jerry, but continue.
Well, if Jimmy Haslam really is Jerry Jones, where he has his tentacles in every part of this organization, then, you know, okay, I guess we can sort of give him a pass, but there's 150 different issues with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry that I can name off for you. But right, I'm going to act under the assumption that the owner is the owner, and Andrew Berry and Paul D. Podesta, who's now with the Rockies, is the decision maker on this team. And if Kevin Stefanski really, by the way, at that point, one time coach of the year, if Kevin Stefanski really didn't want Deshaun Watson because he didn't think he'd fit with his offense, then he should have stood on the table and said something about it instead of going along with what has become an organizational NFL level disaster.
It's the worst contract in football. It's the worst trade in football. It set this organization back 5 years. We all know this, and we're all living in this image right now of a specter of Deshaun Watson coming back that I think none of us want to watch, unless you're truly just at the phase of, I don't care, run him out there. Whatever. It's not going anywhere anyway. Like, that's the only argument of Deshaun Watson that you hear. There's nobody out there who's like, ooh, maybe we get 2020 Deshaun Watson back. No, that's 5 years ago.
Where's Leroy Bickerstaff? He's been pretty quiet on social media.
That's 5 years ago. He followed JB up to Detroit. I am with you. I think they are a package deal. And if it were me, who had the keys to this whole thing, I'd blow the whole damn thing up. Mm. And I know Andrew Berry had a really good draft right here, and he brought in a couple of guys who can make an impact. I just look at the Jerry Jeudy contract and go, what the hell is this? I don't want Jerry Jeudy here. I didn't want Jerry Jeudy here to begin with. And if I did bring Jerry Jeudy here, I wasn't going to sign him to a multi-year contract before he touched the field. Like, that is an abomination. That contract is horrendous. I look at the offensive line and the tatters that the offensive line is in. And the fact that your solution to this offensive line getting older was to throw a third round pick at it and then a bunch of undrafted guys. And basically just throw bodies at it and hope that you can find five bodies that can stand there and hold people up. DeJuan Jones, I don't even know what he is at this point. You know, there are some people saying, oh, they moved back to right tackle. It might fix itself. I don't know. I'm not living in that world. I can't, because it can't stay on the field anyway. Right tackle, wide receiver, left tackle. I don't care where he plays. Can't stay on the field. So that's the other problem that we're in the midst of right now. This offensive line is in tatters, and it was old. And it's not like nowhere in the building do they have ages written down. Like, this is the reality that we're in. All right.
So, real quick, why does it feel like Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski have since separated themselves? I have a theory, but I want it because you and I both agree that they're a package deal, and you know they've been trotting out this line that they're thought partners the whole time. So why does it feel like at the end of the season they're going to fire Kevin Stefanski and they're going to let Andrew Berry pick the new coach?
It's a good question. We'll get into that a little bit next. Kathy from Hudson. How are you, Kathy?
Hi.
Is this Mrs. Ziegler?
Mrs. Zink.
Zink. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Seriously? Hi, Anthony. I heard you. And I recognized your voice, and oh my gosh, congratulations on your success.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. Well, Mrs. Zink, thank you so much for calling in.
So, Mrs. Zink, I have to ask, how was he as a student? Was he a good student?
He was the most respectful gentleman with a beautiful smile in fourth grade.
That's so fun. Was he a, because a lot of times they will say people who get into this business are truly the class clowns. Was he a class clown or did
no,
he behave himself?
Definitely not. No, he was not a class clown. He was so well behaved, such a smart young man, and he was just always so respectful. No, he was not a class clown at all.
I will say this, Mrs. Zink, that did start in middle school. I was swept up in the middle school boy. And look, I substitute teach a little bit, so I'm familiar with the middle school boy thing going on and how everybody's a class clown. I did fall into that a little bit.
I'm sorry, but look, you recovered.
It's true. You fall into those times in life. And all of a sudden, you like life gets to you. Well, thank you for calling. I'm glad he wasn't a pain in the butt for you. That's good to hear.
And Merry Christmas to your beautiful family, Anthony.
Merry Christmas to you guys too, Mrs. Zink.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
It's outstanding. Your fourth grade teacher.
That was awesome.
What a small world. That's killer.
I remember the last day of fourth grade, we were so sad because we were going to have to transition to a new teacher in fifth grade. And Kenston has tremendous teachers up and down the board. So it wasn't going to be an issue. But at the last day of class, she's like, I have this surprise for you. And you know how we tease in the business, like coming up, big surprise. She was teasing it all week. And that last day of school, she's like, I'm moving to fifth grade with you guys. And we went bonkers. It was like
that's awesome.
Throwing stuff up in the air.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was the coolest thing. Mrs. Zink, like my buddies and I will still talk about how awesome Mrs. Zink is. I know a lot of them are listening right now. They've since gone on to their beautiful careers. We still will talk about how incredible of a teacher she was because that was cool.
That is cool. That's awesome. Thank a teacher today. You know, they make an impact on all of our lives and, you know, helped all of us, whether we realize it or not, turn into the people that we truly are right now. For the better and the poor, you know? They've helped us all along the way.